Good morning. My name is Richard Len of A Brave World. That's braveworld.ca, and I'm your host. You're listening to The SPAR, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. Now, SPAR, as you recall from my last program, stood for Strategic Plan to Actionable Roadmap. We're going to continue our discussion on the importance of having a strategic plan and actual roadmap from the perspective of marketing. But first, I'd like to speak a little bit about last week's program. Last week, I talked a little bit about Father's Day, and it was Father's Day, and I suggest everybody should go out and say Happy Father's Day to your dad. And I also spoke on the fact of what we learn and how we become business champions. And from the SPAR perspective, we learn many things in our business from a lot of different people. Maybe it's from your dad, and you've been able to apply that to your career or your business, or maybe from another person's dad that you've been able to provide to your career or your business. I did talk about the SPAR a little bit. And I suggested check out dictionary.com for the definition, because the SPAR is a very interesting word. And the importance of sparring, like athletes, to become a business champion. You know, often I think it's about working together, unraveling complex issues, making better business decisions, and establishing a common direction. Heck, I guess what we need to really do is just set priorities, make sure we have them and we know what they are, and the people that work with us know what they are also. I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking about the importance of business models. And there are many different types of business models when you look at any type of organization. Now, the model that I work with is called the Settability Model. And the Settability Model is actually a business model that I own and I've worked with from a strategic planning perspective. And I want to share it with you right now. Now, first things first is the word settability. The word settability stands for your ability to fine-tune your business environment so you can achieve consistent, measurable results for positive impact. Now think about that for a second. I'll repeat it. Your ability to fine-tune your business environment so you can achieve consistent, measurable results for positive impact. Think of it this way. Your business is no different than your car, your stereo, your computer system, your smartphone. It has to operate within a certain set of parameters. And if it operates outside of those parameters, then it doesn't quite function the way it should. And it won't get you the results or get you to where you want to go, or maybe the phone call you want to make, or the information you need at your hands or your fingertips from your computer. If you're driving your car right now, or if you can imagine that you're driving your car right now, chances are when you're in your car, you check out the dashboard and you check out how much gas you have and what the temperature is and what speed you're going at and basically how far you've driven. You know, there are all sorts of different components on your dashboard that sort of tell you what's happening and what's going on. Well, really, that's what the settability model is all about, or knowing what your settability factor is. Is your business operating in the appropriate parameters that it should be? Now, with any business, there are certain key impact zones. And last week, we talked a bit about the importance of vision, mission, and guiding principles. And this week, I want to hit a couple of business impact zones, but more from their perspective. We'll focus on one specific one. But first, every business probably has four impact zones, and then plus another one that's foundational, too. These tend to include things like process and productivity. Basically, process and productivity is about efficiency and effectiveness and how effective and efficient is your work. Or maybe you should say it's about the way you do your work. How about tools and technology? And that should be just simple. The tools that you do your work or you use to do your work. That could be a computer, an automobile, a truck. It could be a hammer, a pen, and a piece of paper. Anything that you use to get work done is really a tool and technology. How about business development? Now, business development is all about the way we get our work. And that could include things like sales and marketing and maybe public relations or a variety of different components of the sales and marketing or marketing overall. The next one is people and culture. And people and culture has a lot to do with, the human aspect of your business. You know, from a people perspective, skills, experience, and aptitude, the ability to learn. How about culture, your beliefs, values, and your attitude in your business? These all come together as key business impact zones that are always working off of one another, almost like creating ripples in the water when they push and pull against one another, and where you put your attention and your time in order to grow your business. I think the only really way to know if you grew your business or what you've done in your business is have measurable outcomes or measurement. And in that case there, you're probably talking about something called leading and lagging indicators and performance management systems and key performance indicators, but leading and lagging. In other words, lagging is you know where you've been, and leading is you have an idea of where you need to be going, if you want to think of it that way. But often in business, we need to take a candid look and we need to be honest with ourselves. I guess what I'm saying is that you need to sort of from time to time step back and maybe shake our heads, and other times maybe we need to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off. I mean, those are all possibilities. Then we need to step up and train to become better, to build our business brain power, make better business decisions, establish a direction. We need to spar to become business champions. This is Richard Land of abraveworld.ca. When we return, we will be speaking with Paul Provost, president of 6P Marketing. We'll be talking about the importance of business and marketing. Now, from the perspective we're looking at is we're looking at it from the perspective of being business champions and creating a knockout marketing strategy that will make you successful in your business. You can check out Paul Provost and 6P Marketing at 6pmarketing.com. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan, and welcome back to the show. Richard Lannan from abraveworld.ca, and you're listening to The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And today, my guest is Paul Provost of 6P Marketing. Now, you can check out 6P Marketing at 6pmarketing.com. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Richard.
It's great to have you here. You know, I've been really excited about talking to you today because I know what you guys do. I mean, I know you're into the whole marketing area. And since we want to talk about a key business impact zone called business development, marketing is a component of that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think you'll have lots of valuable information. But first, Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself. What makes Paul tick?
I'm not that complicated. I'm mostly a businessman and family man. So when I'm not helping other businesses and working on our own business, I'm with my family. We have two boys, and I go golfing. I try to coach hockey with them. I like cycling and golfing, movies and travel. So those are normal kind of business person activities. And for the business itself, when I'm not with my family or in the business, I'm usually in the community, either volunteering or attending community events. We're members of a bunch of organizations, including ICTAM, the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce, Manitoba Chamber of Commerce, Advertising Association, Marketing Association, Young Associates, Alternative Board, Chambre de Commerce.
You're a busy guy.
Few organizations. So yeah, as you can see.
I actually checked that out on your website. And if you go to 6pmarketing.com, you can actually, I think at the bottom of your website, all these different organizations,
right,
their logos are there. So yeah. I thought that was a fantastic way to actually support the business community and the stuff you're involved in. Now, Paul, the company's called 6P Marketing. Tell us what 6P Marketing is.
Well, it's a full-service marketing communications firm. We focus on small to medium-sized business. We help business owners with their marketing challenges. So in some cases, we effectively are their marketing department, and we work on a plan, we evolve their brand, and we execute their tactics and help them with reporting and management of what goes on. And in other cases, we just work on project basis. So we build a website, we send emails for them, we're very project-based in that way. So that's mainly how our business is configured.
So you're a marketing consulting firm is the way
Correct.
To put it down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And are you considered like an all-service firm? Would you categorize yourself that way?
Absolutely. Yeah, we focus on Manitoba and Winnipeg, but we do have actually a couple clients outside of our borders that way.
Oh, can you say where they're from?
Sure. Actually, just about a month ago, we landed a client out of Chicago.
Oh, sweet.
Actually, pretty happy about it. It's the Technology Councils of North America.
Okay.
We're rebranding that organization and going through a nice process on that for them.
So they're a nice-sized client with some specific reach.
I don't know about size-wise, but it's an important one. This is effectively... there's 150 councils that are a part of it, and they represent something like 1 million employees in the technology field across North America.
So. Fantastic. So you get the opportunity to rebrand an organization that represents 1 million employees in the technology field.
Correct.
I think that's a success story in itself. So I'll give you a high five.
High five.
Here we go. High five right on the air. Listen, I sort of said to you before we got together, I want to talk to you about the name of your company.
Right.
Because right away, 6P Marketing. So... 6P? Come on. What's 6P?
Sure. Well, I have a business degree from the Asper School of Business. And when I went to school, there were the four P's: product, place, price, and promotion.
Okay.
And as I grew through the field of business, what I noticed was a missing component. And really it came down to the people and the passion that they had. And just knowing that, you know, I'm sure we've all had negative service experiences with various companies. The point is you know, that to me is an important dynamic with when it comes to marketing. I mean, and that's controllable, and you can certainly pick how you do it. And some people call it internal branding, but it's an important dynamic to how marketing affects your customers and what your brand is.
So let me just see if I got this right. So 6 P's: price, product, place, promotion.
Correct.
So that's the, that, you know what, I studied the same thing in school too.
Sure.
And I remember that. So what were the other two?
People and passion.
People and passion. So the people side, ooh, you fit really nicely into my model. People
that's
side
right.
of the equation.
Yep.
No doubt passion. I think in life generally, if you think in passion, you're always more successful in business or whatever you do, your career, if you really like what you're doing.
Absolutely. It's the difference between whether you want to get out of bed and go to work or not. I mean, it's whether you're motivated and energized about what you do or whether it demotivates you. So
yeah. So I'm going to repeat those for our listeners. So 6P marketing, and the 6P stands for price, product, place, promotion, people, and passion. You know, it's interesting. Before we got together, I wrote down a few too, and I was going, my gosh, I could come up with tons of P words.
Yeah.
But I put in the word profit.
Fair enough.
All right.
So that's from a business perspective, though, that marketing. I mean, we certainly want to have profit.
Sure,
but.
Sure. And especially when I spoke a little bit about measurable outcomes at the beginning, the first segment. So no doubt about it. Now, listen, you know what? When I think about business development, and I think about business development from a strategic planning perspective, sort of a macro perspective, and part of your strategic planning, I mean, we consider business development to be one stream or one roadway or one pathway within your plan. And the other ones, are things like people and culture and process and productivity and tools and technology. But today we're going to be talking about the business development side of the equation. Now, you specifically focus on marketing as part of business development. So what is a marketing strategy? Like, what does that mean anyway?
Well, there's, I'm sure, a few definitions, but the way I look at it is it's a process that allows your company to concentrate its resources on the optimal opportunities with the goal of course, increasing sales and achieving a sustainable competitive advantage. I mean, and that's an important part there is, you know, oftentimes people think of marketing as just an ad that goes out, but really you got to look at it in the broader context of achieving something that can be repeated and scaled, not just bringing one or two clients to the table every time you do it. So
yeah, and I think that's actually a pretty good definition. I mean, I like the word, I don't know if it's overused or not, but I like the word scalable, you know, and I've been involved in that many times in terms of, you know, your scalable business environment. And from a scalable perspective, what does scalable mean from a marketing strategy perspective or marketing planning perspective?
Well, I suppose the easiest way, because we work mainly with small to medium-sized business, that's a very important word for us. I mean, we work with companies where, you know, they're working out of their basement, they're just starting up and they have a limited amount of money. So we whether we do a $500 logo or $5,000 logo, I mean, you can achieve the end result of a logo, and whether, you know, it works for the client and whether they're happy, effectively, it can be the same thing. So we have to make sure that we're capable of providing that service, you know,
Within a reasonable budget. That makes a lot of sense. You know, I think that's actually quite important. And I know you guys do more, and you talked about logo and different costs potentially, right? But I know you do more than that.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
So what we'll do is this, is we're just going to pause briefly. Now, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Richard Landon of A Brave World, and you can check me out at braveworld.ca. And you're listening to The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And today, our guest is Paul Provost of 6P Marketing. Now, you can check out 6P Marketing at 6pmarketing.com. And the whole topic of the day is, you know, accelerating your business, becoming a business champion to having a knockout marketing plan. We'll be right back. Hi, my name is Richard Lennon of A Brave World, and I'm your host of The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. You know, you ever wonder what makes a business champion? What accelerates the creation of business champions? From my perspective, I think we need the SPAR, you know, and really that's just about people working together and unraveling complex issues, making better business decisions and establishing a common direction. I think it's truly the only way or a guide to your business success where you have renewed hope, a bigger vision, a realistic and actual roadmap and a means to business success. Now, today we've been talking about business impact zones and particularly marketing plans. So when we return, we will continue our conversation with Paul Provost of 6P Marketing regarding being a business champion through having a marketing strategy for your business success. And we'll also do the business champion knockout tips, the 1-2-3s that you must know. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Lannan, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The SPAR, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. Now, today we've been talking about business development and particularly marketing and marketing plans and marketing strategies, which I guess every business needs one. And our guest today is Paul Provost of 6P Marketing. Paul Provost of 6P Marketing, I mean, they're all about helping organizations developing marketing strategies and so that they can accelerate their growth and become business champions and be successful in their business. Now, Paul, just before the break, we were chatting a little bit about the scalability of business, and we also are marketing, that is. And we also talked a little bit about marketing strategies, marketing plans in terms of definition. But really, what's the benefit of having a marketing strand a marketing plan and marketing strategy?
Well, I often think of a quote by Lewis Carroll from Alice in Wonderland, and it goes, "If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there." And that's basically the premise for most plans. The gist here is the benefit is it works. I mean, establishing goals and laying out the tactics required to get there, these match resources with goals, and they really make it optimal to helping your business. Also, with efficiency, it helps you to agree on a direction at the beginning of the year, so you don't have to constantly be reinventing. It allows you to measure and optimize what you're doing. It allows you to share the implementation schedule beyond just yourself as an individual. And most importantly is probably that it helps you to stress less. It helps a business owner, take control of the situation as opposed to just constantly be reactive to everything that happens.
Everything going. I sort of have a similar analogy in the strategic planning world where I talk about the importance of developing a roadmap. And I think in certain respects, it can be almost like how you travel from one place to the other. You can just get in your car and start driving, right? Or you can go to AMA and get a triptych and they'll sort of plan it out for you. Or you can be almost like a rally car driver, right? Where, and if you know anything about rally car driving, I mean, it's really planned. Like, it's a team effort. You know where you're going. You know the distance, the time, what it takes you to get there, what the impact's going to be along the way. And it sounds to me like that's sort of similar to a marketing strategy overall, right?
Very much.
That sort of, it lays out the road, the path, the way to get there in terms of our business. Now, those are fantastic benefits in terms of the organization, but let's see if we can just dig a little bit deeper. When we talk about marketing plans overall, I mean, there's probably some key components to a marketing plan. And we sort of joked a little bit about some components in terms of off the name of your company, 6P, but let's just talk a little bit about maybe some of the components. I mean, I know that customer profiles is a component of a marketing plan. So tell us a little bit about why it's so important to have a customer profile. Well, what it is and why it's so important, I guess, would be the question.
Sure, of course. Well, you can talk about quite a number of details related to your customers. And of course, it's important because they're the ones that buy what you sell.
Sure.
So the better you understand who they are, why they buy, what the criteria they use to buy, what their needs are, both functional and emotional needs, the better you're able to conceive your product and appeal to and engage your audience with regards to what it is that you're selling. So it's in the context of a plan, to me, it's second only to what are your goals for your marketing and for your business.
Sure. So part of the customer identification, that's what it sounds like to me. Like, it's like, I often put it this way, right? Have you ever had to buy a car?
Sure, of course.
Sure, right? And usually when you think about buying a car, you start to set up what are called requirements, right? You start thinking, I need a minivan, or I need a sunroof, or I need a 4x4, right? And then you start thinking about those needs, and maybe you say, "Oh, I need a sedan," and then you say, "Oh, that car should only have like four doors and a trunk, and oh, I want it in blue." And by the way, and pick a model. I'm not going to say any on air, but you can think of a different types of cars. And the funny thing is, what happens? You start seeing that vehicle everywhere, And to me, maybe that's what you mean by customer profile. Is that allows you to see your customers wherever you are. You know what they look like.
For sure. Well, those are the key features or the criteria through which they're looking at their purchase. So we certainly want to make sure that we define those so that in the context of a normal business, it could be things like the quality of service. It could be the features that your products have. It could be a whole host of things, what certifications your company has, whether it has ISO or CORE or what have you. So these can be a wide array of different criteria for different businesses.
For a lot of businesses. Yeah, and sometimes I guess some people, when you ask them who your customers are, who are their customer, they sort of pause and they fumble through it a little bit.
Sure.
And I've often
a lot of them know exactly who they are, generally speaking, but they don't think about the depths of that decision that those people make. So defining it, going through that process is very helpful, not only for that individual business owner, but for those that they work with, so that they get a better understanding of what that world looks like and why decisions are made on behalf of the customer. So
that's an important point. Now, I know that we were talking a little bit about, I want to just jump down on something on brand strategy. What exactly is a brand strategy?
Well, brand strategy has to do with the personality and the attributes of your brand. So how are you positioning yourself in the marketplace relative to others? So think of your company as a person. If you think of, you have traits, some people are aggressive, some are more conservative. Oftentimes we use an exercise related to if you could name a spokesperson for your company, which one would you use and why, and what about them appeals to you? And so some people choose Steve Jobs, others choose Bill Gates, some use Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
The point is it helps you to convey what it is that you're trying to convey about your business. That's the personality side. On the attributes side, you think of companies like Volvo, where they would, over history, they've had things like safety and luxury nailed down. And when you think of Volvo, those are the two key words. Well, those are their brand attributes. So you want to make sure that what it is that you want to stand for is defined, and that it exudes through every interaction with your customer. And when you can define it that way, then you as a business leader or those that work with you are clearer about what to say, what to write, or how to position you with your company.
Yeah, and so the branding is really all about the positioning in relation to your customer. So it's a nice tie-in to that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like how you talked about a little bit about people representing you, sort of like that visual, right? Is it Michael J. Fox or is it Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or, nice visuals. But these can be applied to small businesses,
absolutely,
small and medium businesses where, they have that image of what that looks like.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. There's a lot that can actually be talked about in terms of branding and the things that we look at. But at this point in time, we're going to take a short break. Now, you've been listening to Richard Lannan from A Brave World and The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And our guest today is Paul Provost of 6P Marketing. Now, you can check out Paul and his company, 6P Marketing, at 6pmarketing.com. And we'll be right back. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. And you're listening to Richard Lannan of A Brave World. That's braveworld.ca. And you're listening to The Spar, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And our guest today is Paul Provost of 6P Marketing. And Paul's company is involved in really accelerating business champions through a knock-em-out marketing strategy and plan. You can check out 6P Marketing at 6pmarketing.com. Now, as promised in our halftime, I said, when we return, we'll talk about the business champion knockout tips and hints and tips and tricks. That's the 1, 2, 3 that we must know. Now, Paul, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. What are your 1, 2, 3 tips for our listeners today?
Well, first and foremost, I'd say that we need to acknowledge that marketing is a little bit more of a process and not just, doing 1, 2, or 3 and out of the gates it's going to succeed. It's an ongoing evolutionary process that we work with clients on. So sometimes we will come up with strategies and tactics that work out of the gates, but ultimately it usually takes some amount of time. Having said that, I'm reminded of a quote that I really love by John Romero, which says, "In marketing, I've seen only one strategy that can't miss, and that is to market to your best customers first, your best prospects second, and the rest of the world last." And so for me, to me, a lot of business owners that I meet with, when I ask them about whether they market to their customers or not, or whether they communicate with them on a regular basis, they tend to not do that. So we start with things like email marketing or direct mail to their existing customers, just reminding them that they exist or what their full line of products are or what the new news is that's going on around the company. Because inevitably, those people tend to be through word of mouth or through referrals. They tend to refer others. So that would be one of the key ingredients. So the second I talk about is formalizing that marketing approach that they have a little bit beyond what they typically do, which is usually by the gut or the seat of their pants. So we make sure that there's some form of a plan, and it can be as little as 2 pages and a Gantt chart that shows you over the 12 months what's going to happen to, you know, a 20-page document. But we never propose doing a binder. It's just a plan that outlines certain information for the business. And then from there, it's evolving the brand. So step two to that is evolving the brand. So sometimes it's, you know, affecting the website, changing the logo, maybe updating a brochure. The third step is executing tactics that are geared around the customers. So where do their customers spend their time, whether it's online or on the, through radio, through their car or whatnot. And then the fourth is finally just managing it properly. So reporting on the various indicators. You talked about the dashboard. So, you know, things like, you know, whether the email marketing is working properly or whether their online activities, how much traffic is their website getting, and then just optimizing those. So that would be the second knockout punch, if you will.
Sure.
And then the third, I like to talk a little bit about what that company is really unique at. And when you think about it, most of the businesses I talk to, they're experts at what they do. And there's some form of unique leadership going on within that company. And so what I try to do is leverage that. So, you know, sometimes it's a prolific author, and other times it's, you know, an area of expertise within the IT field. I mean, it's simply a matter of sharing that expertise with others within the field. So those are the three I would point to.
I
think that, you know, limiting it to three is a little unfair, but
no. Hey, got to stay on theme.
Sure, of course.
So if I got this right, number one, the first one was out of our 1, 2, 3 was process. To apply a process?
Sure.
Yes?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Second was to formalize, okay, your plan. And in this case here was sort of like have a map that sort of lays out what you're going to do, say, over a time period like 12 months and commit to that. Evaluate on that and also execute it, you know.
Right.
So those are some key concepts and making sure it's moving forward. And then it's really about leveraging your uniqueness in
right.
your business, that every business is unique. Every business has a story to tell and they have a service that they offer. And they're not everything to everybody. They're something to somebody very specific. And that's maybe part of their uniqueness. Would you agree?
Certainly.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, I mean, those are great 1, 2, 3 business champion knockout hints and tips and tricks and that. But out of curiosity, now you've done a lot of work with small to mid-range enterprises or businesses, so that's been fantastic. Can you bring us through an example of maybe a client you work with, maybe that you've touched on all three of those?
Sure. Let's see here. One example that comes to mind is one that I've been working with for the better part of 6 years. We started out by... they were merging two companies, so we had to rebrand them. We rebuilt their website. We launched email marketing for them, online advertising. And over the course of 6 years, we helped them increase, just as one metric as an example, increase their website traffic by an 8-fold increase over that time. So they had started with approximately under 1,000 visitors per month. And towards, more recently, they're getting somewhere near 8,000 per month. So mm-hmm. just, you know, when you get that many eyeballs coming to your website, you know, there's going to be an impact. You know, your marketing funnel starts with those that don't know nothing about you. And when they come to your website, they start to learn more about you. So
yeah.
Those just one example that comes to my mind.
Yeah, and so I mean, really, that sort of that eye view of what they're doing and that it just sort of opens things up. Now, if you're listening, you're not too sure what a marketing funnel is. I mean, a marketing funnel is real. It's just like a shape of funnel, and you slowly you have a number of things that you're doing at the top that increases your potential for customers, and then as the things funnel through, the buyers come out at the other end. Is that an okay analogy to use?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really simplifying it. I know that.
There's a few pieces that goes from unaware to aware to interested to trial to purchase to repeat purchase. So that's
oh,
as simple as you can make
sweet.
It.
Yep. Could you repeat those words?
Sure. Unaware to aware to interested to trial to purchase to repeat purchase.
To repeat purpose. Myself, I learned it as 10-3-1, right? Connect with 10, right? Meetings with 3, 1 by.
Sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
And so that's sort of the way I like to look at it and everything. Those are some serious things. I mean, in terms of just the marketing perspective and some of the benefits overall. Are there any key measurements that anybody should look like? If you were to think about one measurement right now and the time that we have allotted, is there a key measurement or anything that comes to mind that people should watch in their marketing efforts?
Well, there's a lot. Probably yeah. Cost per lead, cost per sale, you know, website traffic is one that, you know, it's a lagging indicator ultimately,
yeah.
but
yeah.
it is one that, you know, when you can say you've got an eightfold increase in traffic, then it's got repercussions. So we monitor that from a
yeah.
marketing perspective.
Okay. That's fascinating. And I appreciate you sharing cost per lead and cost per sale. And the other one I like is lifetime value. Every customer has a value over a certain period of time. Yeah, you're listening to Richard Lannan of A Brave World, and particularly the SPAR, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And my guest today is Paul Provost of 6P Marketing. Now, you can check out Paul and his company, 6P Marketing, at 6pmarketing.com. We'll be right back. Hi, and welcome back to the show. It's Richard Lannan for The SPAR, where we seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And today, we've been specifically speaking on business development from a marketing perspective. And our guest has been Paul Provost of 6P Marketing. And you can check him out at 6pmarketing.com. Now, Paul, if you could deliver one final message, what would it be?
Well, for me, it's develop a marketing plan and execute and optimize it. Marketing is hard. It's challenging. And hitting a home run out of the gates is nearly impossible. So to us, setting a plan, working the plan is really the ultimate formula for success.
Yeah, wow, that's actually quite valuable lesson learned something that we can definitely take away. You know what? You've been listening to Richard Lannan of A Brave World, abraveworld.ca, and The SPAR. And as I mentioned, we like to seek to accelerate the growth of business champions. And today it's been all about business development and marketing, having a marketing plan.